Jhené Angola Jr., the podcast.
My mama told me to tell you that it's Jhené Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Mike Golic Jr., Amber Wilson back in the saddle with us again today to break it all down. We got great stuff coming up. We got Thursday night football in the preseason, the Eagles and the Patriots. We'll get that one previewed up because we are degenerates who love to preview the preseason around here, as well as roll along with some training camp previews. We've got the Houston Texans coming up today to take a look at here in the AFC South. We've also got, I believe, the Jacksonville Jaguars today. If I remember that right, it's bad that I already have forgotten it from the pre-show meeting, Amber. So keep me honest on this
one. You got it. It's the Jags.
The struggle is real around here. So if you can't tell, we are in the dog days of training camp here, too, where everything starts to blend together. But, Amber, in the midst of all that, because you and I both big football fans, I mean, hell, we got into it yesterday about the Dolphins' offensive line in the middle of August, which weirdly feels right at home.
It does. Hashtag Dolphins O-line Twitter.
Now, in the middle of all of that, though, Amber, it was amazing to look up really yesterday and today and see the NBA kind of reinsert itself into the conversation here. Because before we get to any of what's coming up tonight with Jalen Hurts or anything like that, Amber, I want to visit with two former champions today. I want to get to the interview that we all saw from Draymond Green yesterday, his new show Chips on Bleacher Report, where he did an interview with Kevin Durant, his former teammate, and talked very candidly about what led to the end of that team in a way that I have some serious disagreements with. But of course, 24 minutes ago, LeBron James just had to go ahead and do this for us here, Amber. As we look up and see some of the preseason NBA things starting to pop up, because remember, this season starting in October, quick turnaround. LeBron James apparently received zero votes for the best player in the NBA as surveyed by league scouts and execs. It was kind of split between Giannis and KD. And so, Amber, we get the tweet, thank you, as if I didn't need more fuel to fuel me. Hashtag washed king from LeBron James. Amber, does this mean a championship is now imminent for the Los Angeles Lakers with all of this motivation?
This guy. Nobody is. Who? Mike, who has actually ever called LeBron the washed king other than LeBron himself? This is like when he won the championship over Miami and then he said, and I want my damn respect too, and he dropped the mic. And I'm thinking, LeBron, who doesn't respect you? Like, where is this lack of respect for the guy who we spend 99.9% of our time on air debating whether he's the greatest of all time? Like, how is that not the ultimate respect when we can insert you into every single conversation that has anything to do with who is the GOAT? I don't know anybody who doesn't respect LeBron James. Maybe they don't care for LeBron James, or maybe right now at this age in his late 30s, they don't think he's the greatest thing right now currently playing, but there is nobody who doesn't respect him. There's nobody coming off of a very recent championship talking about how washed he is that he can't play anymore. Like, what are we doing here? This is just an athlete creating some chip that doesn't exist. Because LeBron, I got news for you, buddy. Everybody thinks you're great. Everybody respects you. Everyone knows how damn good you are.
This is simultaneously the least and most relatable thing on earth. Because when I look at this, Amber, it's the least relatable because, like, LeBron James and Nick Saban, like, this smells like rat poison. This smells like Nick Saban getting fired up in a press conference for no reason other than to try and light a fire under his team that's ranked number one for the fourth time in 6 years. So there's that part, which most of us mere mortals cannot relate to. I do have to say, though, this is extremely relatable because we know LeBron James hears a lot of voices. And like any of the rest of us, Amber, especially on my end, I can get 1,000 tweets that might be complimentary, that might be positive, but we all kind of hold on to the one that's the dig in there. We quote tweet that one. We lob it to the timeline. And this feels like LeBron James acknowledging his humanity.
So you think it's like some egg on Twitter that's calling LeBron the washed king. And that's like the one tweet that he's zeroing in on. And he's ignoring all the others that are calling him the greatest of all time. He's got the Twitter egg syndrome. You have referenced over the last couple shows that we've done together, you have referenced your TikTok comments and getting lost in the comment section. And there have been studies actually done on this that apparently we do zero in psychologically on negative more than positive. So apparently if you say one negative thing to people and like 100 positive things, they harp on the negative thing. I guess that is a component of human nature and human psychology, and obviously something that's very difficult to navigate in a social media age. But I just have a hard time with these athletes that are praised and praised and praised and well-deserved. But we're all out here praising LeBron all the time. I feel like LeBron was sitting around and he was listening to Shanae and Golic Jr. yesterday, and he said, you know what they're doing here in August? They're leading shows with Andy Dalton, and nobody's mentioned LeBron James in a minute, so I'm going to go ahead and drop this tweet on their timelines, hashtag it Wash King, and watch them talk about me off the top, and here we are.
See, he just is following the lead of champion for self-love Andy Dalton on this one. I'm glad we've gotten to the bottom of this already here, Shanae and Golic Jr., on ESPN Radio. So if we've solved that, let's get to some Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Speaking of chips, that is the name of the new show starring Draymond Green on Bleacher Report, an interview series that first had him going up with his former coworker, Kevin Durant, here. The two of them talked about, I mean, what we all saw go down in Golden State, the argument between those two and the role that played, as well as the role that Steve Kerr and their GM Bob Myers played in the breakup of the Warriors dynasty. Here is that clip.
It wasn't the argument. It was the way that everybody, Steve Kerr, act like it didn't happen. Bob Myers and tried to just discipline you and think that that would put the mask over everything. I really felt like that was such a big situation for us as a group. The first time we went through something like that, we had to get that all out. I said, the only person that can make this right is me and Kay. And there's nothing that y'all can do, and y'all are going to this up. And in my opinion, they it up.
I think so, too.
So, Amber, I want to make this abundantly clear. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. I am taking Draymond Green at his words. And by the way, they're great words. He's really good at this. Like, we should all be scared that this guy's still a current player doing this job better than us. It reminds me why Chinee Agumake, I sit here every day and feel very inferior. But Draymond Green's words were, the only people that can work this out are me and Kay. And then goes on, like Kevin Durant, who co-signs it, to say that he believes Steve Kerr and Bob Myers messed this up. Those two things can't exist in the same pot together if we're laying a blame pie out for this thing.
Listen, you spent some time in training camps around the National Football League. I never even spent time playing like Little League anything. So around me, you don't have to feel intimidated until Shanae comes back. And then we know that former athletes, they do tend to do this better than maybe the rest of us. I have a hard time believing anything that is said here between Draymond Green and Kevin Durant. And it's not that I believe that it's Steve Kerr's or don't believe it's Steve Kerr's fault and Bob Myers' fault and all that. I don't even mean that component of this. I don't care whose fault it was. I don't believe that this had anything to do at all, this entire situation with Kevin Durant leaving the Golden State Warriors. Like, that decision had been done made, Mike. I mean, wasn't that where this argument started?
Yes.
Wasn't this Draymond Green calling Kevin Durant out for leaving because planning to leave because everybody knew at that point and it was heavily rumored that he's planning to leave because you know what? He was planning to leave. And it wasn't because he got into some skerfuffle with Draymond Green. Everybody gets into a skerfuffle with Draymond Green. I feel like I have been in a kerfuffle with Draymond Green in like some past life and I don't even know the man, you know?
This is
I mean,
Mean Girls. Raise your hand if you've personally been victimized by Draymond Green.
Exactly. That's not why you leave a championship organization that you won a chip with. That had nothing to do with anything. Kevin Durant was already leaving, and if he wasn't already leaving, he decided that after the way that they handled the injury. But I'm here to tell you, he was already leaving. This had nothing to do with anything. And now this is them just, I guess, playing the blame game, which feels unnecessary because I don't think this had anything to do with it.
It does feel impressive that in the NBA, especially a league where we talk about all the time the limitations of what coaching can accomplish, until we parachute in when something goes wrong and try and find a way to blame coaches. We almost did it with Steve Nash this year at times with the Brooklyn Nets. It's nice to see that also transcends to off the court, where a locker room with those strong of personalities, where these two said, we could have worked it out ourselves, but you guys somehow screwed it up. Make it make sense in a way that I just don't think it can here. So, interesting stuff. Listen, Draymond's already mastered the art of getting the clicks up off something like this, so I can't really hold it against him here. So, we'll leave that. The NBA offseason operating at max capacity already, which is encouraging. But coming up next, we got real live football coming up with us tonight here. And we'll try and figure out what Jalen Hurts looks like long term for the Philadelphia Eagles, because I think the role he's in right now is going to be consistent going forward. We'll get to that next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Going along in the preseason with another round of Thursday night football, the Eagles and the Patriots getting ready to go to work tonight. Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, Mike Golic Jr. and Amber Wilson. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. And Amber, we know going into these preseason games, obviously it's not the be-all, end-all in any of these. I mean, hell, we thought so much of preseason, we decided to hack a whole game off heading into this season after not playing any games last year. But it's an exciting time to get to look at these quarterbacks here. And tonight we get another bout of rookie quarterback Mac Jones out there in a battle with Cam Newton that we'll get to in a little bit. But the second-year man Jalen Hurts out of Alabama, by way of Oklahoma as well, lining up under center for Philadelphia. And Amber, I don't know what it is. Like, I covered Jalen Hurts in college. I saw him at both stops there. I got to meet him at the Heisman ceremony in New York. Everything about Jalen Hurts' career leading up to this point has been him accomplishing an incredibly high level, and when he encounters anything resembling doubt, he still goes out and finds a way to push past that here. And so we get to Philly here, and Amber, for some reason, as we're getting set to watch him go out there and no doubt be the starter heading into this season, I still can't get myself to buy into the idea that he's really going to be the long-term answer for Philly at quarterback here. What about you?
I've always been really high on Jalen Hurts coming off of his college career. I was high on him in college. I've been high on him, like you said. He always seems to overcome that adversity. That's a trait, obviously, that I like in a football player. He always seems like he had it to me, and I wanted the Dolphins, because they're my team, I wanted the Dolphins to get crazy in that 2020 draft and draft Tua at 5 and then still draft Jalen Hurts in that second round. Ooh. Because I thought, you know what, you have to get that position right. No teams ever have the goal and it to do that, other than maybe, I guess, the Josh Rosen, where you take him and then you immediately draft another quarterback and Murray the next season. But very rare do we see teams actually draft and draft and draft again until they get that position right. And I don't fully get it, because that position is that important. And the Dolphins had that much draft stock. They had 7 picks in that draft, and I think 7 the next draft as well. So I thought if they were going to do it, this is the year to do it. You can deal with wasting, essentially, another pick on a quarterback, but it's only wasted if these quarterbacks don't pan out, and that gives you some insurance at that position. The Eagles kind of did that when they take Jalen Hurts in the second round, because Carson Wentz was supposed to be their guy, and they still believed in Wentz at the time that they take Jalen Hurts. So Jalen Hurts is kind of like an insurance policy, and a maybe, and maybe he ends up being a really good backup, or maybe he's a trade chip, and now he has become the guy. And I think that's why you have a hard time wrapping your head around it, Mike, even if you believe in Jalen Hurts, and even if you were somebody who was high on him in college, because it wasn't the plan for him to be the guy in Philly. So I think a lot of people are having a hard time believing that he is in fact going to be the guy. But there is no quarterback controversy here for the Eagles this season, because you know who ain't the guy? Joe Flacco. Like, he's right, he's not the quarterback of the future for the Philadelphia Eagles. So there's no controversy here. See what you have in Jalen Hurts. Hope that maybe it works out. And if it doesn't, then you look somewhere else for the future of this team.
Yeah, it seems to be an all upside play here for Philly, right? Because people are going to look at this, and again, we just lavished him in praise to then go out here and do the exact thing we said not to do. And a lot of it is because, Amber, we also realize that the bar is not set in like a very achievable place for him, right? Because the number next to your draft status is always going to matter. Like, you ask anyone, look at anyone around the league, and we watch time and time again, dudes with that one next to their name in the round they were drafted in getting chance after chance after chance. And what do we see on the other side? When you're on the outside looking in, and I know he was picked in the second round, but like you said, he was picked as a nice supplement. He was an insurance policy. He was capital at the backup quarterback spot that we know is important in this league. But we also just watched Dak Prescott have to fight for his life to try and get a payday, largely, I think, because he had that draft tag next to his name. If Dak Prescott had been the Cowboys' first-round pick, that deal would have been signed. But because of that, he had to go out there and accomplish even more. And Amber, I feel like that's where Jalen Hurts is going to be when we talk about if this guy's put in a position to succeed or not. No, I mean, hell, what do we already hear this offseason? Rumblings that the Eagles could be kicking the tires on Deshaun Watson, who is going through all of the legal issues that we've seen off the field. And we've still heard that come out, which probably, I think, indicates, all right, listen, if we were all the way sold on this guy, you wouldn't have to worry about that.
Well, the Eagles being one of those teams, even the Dolphins being a team like that. I mean, these teams that have these young quarterbacks that are question marks that you're not necessarily sold on, who feel like they have some time here to figure it out, what they have, maybe interested in Deshaun Watson down the line. I think also as a franchise, you'd be hoping that some of those Deshaun Watson issues are a little bit more clear by the time you make that sort of decision, because I don't think anybody's trading for Watson right now. But you're right, the Eagles have been linked in all of those rumors, and that has everything to do with the fact that they have a big question mark at that position. But a question mark isn't the same thing here as a controversy. So obviously they're riding with Jalen Hurts this season. I think you give him the full season if you can to get a feel for what he can give you. And you're right, the leash isn't as long for a 53rd pick in the draft. Not that that should matter, but it does matter. And one of the reasons it matters is because if you're that top 5 or top 10 pick, obviously your rookie contract looks a little different as well than if you're a second rounder. So when the Eagles took him on at 53, they weren't putting as much value or stock in him generally, but because of that, they're also not going to waste as much time on him as maybe somebody that they had invested that kind of time and money into, or were expected to invest that kind of time into. So with Jalen Hurts here, you get this season to prove yourself. I'm still high on him. I still have hope that maybe he can get it done. He doesn't have necessarily the best pieces around him, but they did bring in Devontae Smith in this draft. I mean, they have tried to beef up some of those weapons for Jalen Hurts to try to set him up for success.
They have tried. And you're right.
And that O-line should be healthier.
Yes, Brandon Brooks back from that hamstring injury here. It seems to start to come together around him. Jalen Reagor's been having a better camp. Like, you can go on to these reasons, but you're right. He's going to get this season. They're going to go out there. Let him take the entirety of the season. Like you said, what do you gain? You're not expected to win this division this year. What do you gain by putting Joe Flacco out there? Nothing. You give him a one-year trial. If there is any promise and he can blow this thing up, then you've hit on a diamond in the rough, even if it is in the second round. And if not, you go back to work next year in earnest and try and build this thing out. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $700 on average. All right, coming up next, though, we mentioned the name Deshaun Watson. Training camp with the Houston Texans is where we go next. And we got to figure out who is lining up under center for this team in the fall of 2021. We'll get to that next after this word from 5-Hour Energy. Now, any guys hit that productivity wall after a big lunch? Plus, it's been raining out all day. Low pressure system coming through up here. Need a little gas. Let 5-Hour Energy Shots help you leap over that wall instead of crashing into it. It's got zero sugar and a convenient portable size. It's the perfect pick-me-up, and it's available in delicious flavors. Watermelon, tropical burst, cherry, peach mango, all that and more. All you got to do, go to 5hourenergy.com today and use the promo code GOLIC, G-O-L-I-C, to receive 10% off your order. That's the number 5hourenergy.com. Promo code GOLIC gets you 10% off. This offer cannot be used with other promotions, and the code is not applicable on subscription orders. Heading to Texans training camp next on ESPN Radio.
Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Amber Wilson filling in for Jhené Egbuamoke. And we've been going camping. We got the Thursday night football tonight. We got the Eagles and the Patriots. And it's been fun, but we've also been going around the entire league. Want to get everyone up to speed on every team as we head into the start of the 2021 season. It's three and out, the three biggest questions facing every team heading into the upcoming season. We're rolling through the AFC South today. We got the Jags coming up in a little bit, but right now it's time to get on the road again. Cliff, hit the music.
The Houston Texans.
Very excited for this one here. And to help us out with our Houston Texans camping, we head to the Goodyear Hotline. Talk to Lance Zierlein, co-host of The Bench on 97.5 in Houston. What's up, LZ?
Well, man, nothing's going on. I'm excited to be on. I just wish I had a better, maybe a little better team to talk about, but it is what it is.
Listen, We can only play the hand that we're dealt, and thankfully, we know you're going to take us camp. Honestly, you're going to be the best performer in Texans training camp at this point. So let's get to the first question here. Oh, go ahead,
Yeah,
Elsie.
Let's go. No, I said you might be right on that one.
Well, in that regard, LZ, as we look at the top of this thing here, we know what's been going on off the field with Deshaun Watson. So where we sit right now, who plays quarterback? Who lines up at QB1 for the Texans at the start of this season?
We're going to start it off with Tyrod Taylor. They're going to roll as long as they can with Tyrod to make sure that they give Davis Mills some time to continue to learn the offense and just get some snaps under his belt. I mean, it's a guy with 11 college starts to his name, even though he was a five-star coming out and one of the top-rated quarterbacks in the nation. But, he had to deal with injuries and playing behind KJ Costello for a year. And so Tyrod Taylor is clearly the guy who should be playing right now. He should be the starter, no question. But at some point during the year, they're going to have to go to the youngster because they picked him in the third round. They got to see what they have because chances are they're going to have a high draft pick. And if they feel like build around and that they got a steal in the third round with Davis Mills, then maybe they don't go quarterback early in the first round. So they've got to see what they have in Davis Mills at some point. But for the foreseeable future, I would say at least for the first 9 weeks, it's the veteran Tyrod Taylor.
Cliff, give me number two. Number two. How has David Culley managed this training camp? And that's, of course, especially considering the very public distraction surrounding Watson.
You know, I'm gonna give David Culley a lot of credit. This is his first time as a head coach, obviously. He was really off the radar before the Texans tabbed him as the head coach. And, you know, he's a very likable, nice guy. He got his hand slapped a little bit, I think, by giving up a little too much info on a Hustle and Flow podcast with Steve Wyche earlier in the off season. And I think he's been very careful to choose his words properly and not give too much away in camp. But I think with the distraction that it could be, he's done a very nice job of sidestepping issues without being overly cranky to the media who's just doing their jobs. I think he's done a nice job. I think he has a great defensive coordinator in Lovie Smith. I think he has a good offense coordinator in Tim Kelly. But being able to handle or lean on the experience of a guy like Lovie Smith, I think, is a really, really big deal. And then David Culley just has the type of amenable personality that I think lends itself to this difficult situation. Is he a long-term solution? I don't know about that. But I think he's a decent solution for what they're facing this year, which is clearly a big-time rebuild.
Janae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio doing three and out, the three biggest questions facing the Houston Texans heading into the 2021 season, talking to Lance Zierlein, co-host of The Bench on 97.5 in Houston. Let's get to number one, Cliff.
Number one.
LZ, with all of the understandable conversations centered around the quarterback position in Houston, we're also turning the page on defense in a big way. J.J. Watt now out in the Valley of the Sun. So what does the identity of this defense and really this team start to look like without one of the franchise faces for the last decade?
Oh, let me tell you. So they don't have the pieces in place that they're going to need for years in the future. But what Lovie Smith is doing right now is putting a big emphasis on the takeaway. A reporter the other day asked him about the turnovers. Lovie made them start the question completely all over and call them takeaways because that's what they are. It's a skill level, and it's something that they're teaching to take the ball away. And they had three in the first game against Green Bay. That's a big part of their identity, no matter who's on the field. So right now, I think it's about playing fast, playing downhill, playing a relentless forward approach as opposed to being a read and react and thinking too much and sitting back team. Lovie wants to get them on their front foot, getting downhill, and attacking the football. So I think what we see right now, Mike, is that they are really becoming a team that is attack-oriented and playing fast. And then from there, he'll figure out the idea of who the pieces are going to be for the future. Do you have core players on the roster or not? I think it's irrelevant right now to Lovie. The main thing is he wants to create a culture of speed, attitude, and a takeaway mentality for this defense.
It's awesome stuff, as always. We mentioned the most redeeming part of Texans training camp, no doubt getting to talk to Lance Zierlein here. LZ, you're the best man. We'll talk to you soon. Hopefully see if something good can come out of this season for the Texans.
I appreciate you guys. Thanks, man.
Amber, it is interesting to think about that defense because we really haven't talked about it much, understandably, this offseason with J.J. Watt. But I remember when you'd hear about the structure of that defense when J.J. was there, it was basically J.J. Watt given free rein to go make plays, and everyone else has to kind of fill in around it, has to make J.J. Watt right in a lot of spots there. So it will be interesting for a group that certainly got no expectations on it this year, an opportunity for some guys in that defense to maybe pop in a way they wouldn't have before.
It's an opportunity, and it's an opportunity without the pressure, because the focus is not going to be on that defense for a multitude of reasons, let's be honest. So it provides an opportunity to some guys who maybe didn't have it before. It is interesting, though, to think who is going to step into that leadership role in the locker room on the defense, because obviously that was J.J. Watt, and so there is going to be a big gap there in terms of leadership moving forward, and it'll be interesting to see them try to find their identity.
Leadership in that locker room, leadership in that city. We know what J.J. Watt and the city of Houston had done together outside of the world of football. So there's your top three questions facing the Texans heading into this season. We'll get to the Jacksonville Jaguars as we wrap up the AFC South in just a little bit. But coming up next, we got to continue to look at that quarterback room in Houston and play out all the possibilities of who could end up under center heading into this fall. We'll get to that next here after this word from DoorDash. DoorDash is here with the summer of Dash Pass. And right now, Dash Pass members are taking $10 off groceries, alcohol, pet food, and more. You need a nightcap, bam, $10 off. You got a cough, get relief delivered for less. You want to surprise your crush, baby. Send a gift, and you get to save in the process. Try Dash Pass for free and get special savings, exclusive menu items, and a $0 delivery fee year-round. Get more from your neighborhood now with Dash Pass in the DoorDash app. And stay cool out there. Terms and conditions apply. Back after this, Jhené Ngola Jr. on ESPN Radio.
As a fan, this is amazing. This is the time of the year.
This is what we talked about. This is real, man.
This is real.
Are you ready? Because I'm ready.
This is Freddie Coleman, and you know I'm ready.
This is Greedy. Northwestern is ready.
Ian Fitzsimmons here. I'm ready. So are Oklahoma and Texas. Sort of. The SEC.
Football is back, and it kicks off every morning with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, and continues all day right here on ESPN Radio. Jhené Ngola Jr., the podcast.
Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Our thanks to Lance Zierlein joining us to break down the Houston Texans heading into training camp here. Mike Golick Jr. and Amber Wilson hanging out today. And we'll get into plenty more. We got the Jags still coming up in our training camp preview. We've got the Aaron Rodgers farewell tour that's not exactly a farewell tour, that's also going to involve throwback jerseys that kind of look like the Baylor Bears. Like, Amber, I'm usually not one to go after anyone's throwback jerseys or alternates. Like, when I played at Notre Dame, we would do one game a year where we would wear an alternate jersey, and it was a ritual of our fans losing their bleeping minds when you change anything. But have you seen the Green Bay Packers throwbacks, and are you in or out on those?
I'm in on those, but I'm not the best person to ask, because I'm somebody generally who does not understand why people get their panties in a bunch about uniforms. Like, I'm here for throwbacks. I'm here for the specialty uniforms, the city uniforms, all that sort of stuff. I'm here for it. I like change, Mike. I'd like to still think that I'm young enough to embrace some change every once in a while. So I don't have an issue when we're talking about uniforms changing for like a game or a couple games. It's not like these are going to be their permanent uniforms. I actually don't hate them anyways, to be honest with you. I don't think they're very offensive. Like, no. What do you hate about them?
I want to be clear. I don't hate them, but it's a lot like when you hear comedians talking about flirting with the line in comedy and saying something that's going to be right up there on the edges. If you're going to take that risk, it better be very creative and funny. That's kind of how I feel about uniforms here. I'm fine with you taking chances, but it better be hot or you're going to get roasted. And I just looked at these and I went, I've seen these before. Baylor plays most of their games wearing these uniforms, and it just seems like, it, you know, we could have gone with something. I get it. Like, it's a throwback. It's built into the repertoire. But the modern rendition just looks a little bit too much like Baylor for my taste.
It's a 1950s throwback. So that's sort of the point, right? I mean, for those of you who hadn't seen it, I feel like this is a more simplistic version of their jersey, where they're going with, you know, all green, and then they have just the a couple stripes I feel like these look clean, to be honest with you.
They are
the yellow
very
helmets,
clean.
Like they are clean, and I'm here for a clean uniform. So I think I'm very much in on these.
Yeah. I like to think
they're
that
growing
I'm,
on me more and more as I'm looking at the pictures.
As I sit here and bring up their flaws, Amber's like, you know what? This guy doesn't even have pictures hung up on his walls. What the hell does he know about what looks good?
What does he
know? Janae and Golic Jr. here. We're brought to you by Napa. Whether it's next day delivery or getting involved in their local communities, Napa goes above and beyond to serve you because their motor never quits. That's Napa know-how. Now, Amber, we did just talk to LZ about the Houston quarterback situation, and he mentioned Tyrod Taylor going to probably get the start this season and go with him. You've got Mills out of Stanford there, who people were talking about back end of the first round quarterback potentially leading up to the draft because of all this potential. But as we sit around here, Amber, and again to remind people, you are also a lawyer, plenty of background in law here, so I defer to you on this, but as we look at the situation with Deshaun Watson right now, he is still in camp with the Houston Texans. He is not on the commissioner's exempt list here. Amber, I keep wondering why they've got him around the building if they're not going to put him under center. Like, are we living in a world where the timeline of this stuff gets us to the regular season? Is there any way Deshaun Watson ends up actually out on the field for these guys?
I've been wondering that myself because, like you said, he's not on the exempt list. He is at camp. They've made it very clear. In fact, David Culley just told the press he is not injured. He is here. He's doing everything that we ask of him. And obviously, that doesn't mean playing under center because that time is going to Taylor. That time is going to David Mills. They are, of course, splitting most of the practice reps. We assume one of them, it seems like Taylor, would be the starter for the Texans. And then, of course, they also want to see what they have in David Mills moving forward. But when we talk about this story with Deshaun Watson and the route that Mike and I are going down here with the football perspective, I mean, I think that it's important to say that there's a football component to this story because Deshaun Watson is a football player in the National Football League and an incredibly high profile one. And we don't know where his status stands in terms of his football career. But obviously, us talking about the football component of the story in no way minimizes the seriousness of the allegations against him or allegations of sexual misconduct or sexual assault generally. So I feel like that's just important to throw out there because people, when you start talking about the football component, say, hey, this is so much bigger than football. And of course, that goes without saying that there's concerns here much bigger than football, but because we're a sports network, we're going to end up talking about the football component as well.
Well, and Amber, I would say, because you're right, like it all feels gross anytime we have to talk about Deshaun Watson in the football field, but what I keep going back to and the explanation every time I talk to you or anyone with a legal background and an understanding of the NFL CBAs is this could all be avoided if he were on the commissioner's exempt list. I said this at the beginning of all this. That would be the ideal tool to save all of these coaches, teams, everyone from themselves, because I keep looking up and worrying and wondering, man, we've heard trade rumors. Eventually, does someone look around and say, if the league is not going to suspend him or take him off the field here, do we put him out there? And the only thing I can come back to, because again, we know football tends to govern these decisions, as gross as it feels, that this could only be about maybe, I don't know, them wanting to trade him and keep him healthy enough to do that.
Or do the Texans make that decision? Because it's not necessarily that another franchise has to trade for him and make that decision. Do the Texans at some point look around and say, hey, we have a top five quarterback here at 25 years old. He's not exempt. He can play. Is there a point that we play him, or is that going to create a whole problem for us in terms of, you know, the PR? There's a PR component to this as well. It's a very difficult situation because you're right. They could put him on the commissioner's exempt list, and generally they do have the power to do that under the CBA. The problem is for how long, Mike? We're talking about right now just civil. There are criminal investigations going on. We know FBI now, as well as the Houston PD. But right now it's just civil. 22 civil cases. If they are going to trial, which they claim they are, which it's hard to believe from a legal perspective because only less than 2% of cases go to trial in civil court. But if they did, you're talking he could be on the commissioner's exempt list if it was for the pendency of the proceedings until 2024. That's the difficulty that the league is facing.
There's
making that decision.
There's so much difficulty baked into this. And in a perfect world, I don't think any of us would want to see him out on the field right now, but we know the NFL hardly ever tends to be that place, and that becomes the worry when you can't pull him off the field. Plenty more to break down in the world of the NFL. We'll get to it next.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.